From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences his fifth message in a series of studies on the law of God. As we've seen, God gave His law in order to show men their accountability to Him. His law is the only standard for right and wrong. God's law is permanent. It has existed since the beginning of time and has never been abrogated. Furthermore, God's law deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motives, thoughts, and actions. In Romans 7, verse 12, the Apostle Paul declared that the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. However, as Dr. Cairns will show in this message, because of the sinfulness of men's hearts, they have perverted the right use of the law. Some have made it an excuse for sin. Others have sought salvation through their vain efforts to keep the law. Some misguided preachers have turned God's law into a burden which they seek to place on the backs of believers. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of The Unlawful Use of the Law. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2. But who may abide the day of His coming? His first coming was without external pomp or show of power, and yet in truth there were few who could abide its testing might. Herod and all Jerusalem with him were stirred at the news of the wondrous birth. Those who supposed themselves to be waiting for Him showed the fallacy of their professions by rejecting Him when He came. His life on earth was a winnowing fan which tried the great heap of religious profession, and few enough could abide the process. But what will His second advent be? What sinner can endure to think of it? He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. When in His humiliation He did but say to the soldiers, I am He, they fell backward. What will be the terror of His enemies when He shall more fully reveal Himself as the I Am? His death shook earth and darkened heaven. What shall be the dreadful splendor of that day in which, as the living Savior, He shall summon the quick and dead before Him? Oh, that the terrors of the Lord would persuade men to forsake their sins and kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Though a lamb, He is yet the Lion of the tribe of Judah, rending the prey in pieces. And though He breaks not the bruised reed, yet will He break His enemies with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. None of His foes shall bear up before the tempest of His wrath, or hide themselves from the sweeping hail of His indignation. But His beloved blood-washed people look for His appearing with joy, and hope to abide it without fear. To them He sits as a refiner even now, and when He has tried them, they shall come forth as gold. Let us search ourselves this morning, and make our calling and election sure, so that the coming of the Lord may cause no dark forebodings in our mind. Oh, for grace to cast away all hypocrisy, and to be found of Him sincere and without rebuke in the day of His appearing.
It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own.
Christ returneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen. Even so come, precious Lord Jesus. Creation waits redemption to see. Caught up in clouds, soon we shall meet thee. O blessed assurance, forever with thee. He is coming again, he is coming again. The very same Jesus rejected of men. He is coming.
To face and tell the story saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all his fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Tonight we return to our studies in the law of God. And we come to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read together the first 11 verses of the chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Let me just make a comment on that as I go on, because it appears, as you read it, to be a reference to the law of God, whereas in actual fact, I don't think it is. The commandment here is the specific charge that is given to the ministers of Christ and the charge that is given to the people of God in being faithful to the gospel. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, and we would do well to keep it always before us in the church, it would certainly sweeten the relations of God's people in the church if we would always remember it, that the end or the goal of the charge which God has given us is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That love of God in the hearts of the people of God, as they do the work of God, will spell great blessing for the unity of the church and for the usefulness of its service to God. It is a tragic thing when people think they're carrying out the charge that God has given and needlessly divide the body of Christ and set believer against believer and love contention for contention's sake. Never forget, you're not doing the work of God when you simply divide the body of Christ. There are times when separation is necessary. The Bible spells those out. But God's people play into the devil's hands when they think they are being faithful and needlessly set one Christian at another's throat. The Bible says the end of this charge is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Tonight I'll be drawing your attention to the words of verse 8. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. The law of God is good. The Apostle Paul was at great pains to emphasize that. Twice he makes that statement in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Using a different Greek word In verse 16, he says, I consent unto the law that it is good. Repeating that word in our text tonight, he again says, we know that the law is good. By using the two words, he's telling us the law is good in itself. It is intrinsically good. Second, it is good in its fitness for the purpose for which God gave it. It is well adapted to the purposes for which the Lord revealed it. And of course, when you stop to think of that, you realize that it couldn't be otherwise. For the law of God is the expression of the character and of the will of Him who is supremely good. So we're not surprised when Paul emphasizes the law is good. However, even a good thing can be put to an evil use. We see that around us every day. Things that in themselves were meant for good are put to an evil use. And certainly, that is true of the law of God. There is a good use to which we should put the law. But there is also an evil use to which men put the law of God. And such is the innate depravity and perversion of man's nature that he inevitably tends to misuse and to abuse the law of God, which in itself is good and holy. Now, the Apostle Paul has all this in mind as he's writing this passage of Scripture, and particularly the words surrounding our text. He had sent Timothy to Ephesus and had him stay there because there were particular difficulties threatening that great church and its witness. Timothy had to combat some people who posed as teachers of the law, but who were actually ignorant of the law and its true meaning and purpose. They were perverters of the law of God. They were given to those wild and fanciful interpretations of the law that at that time were so beloved of Jewish writers. Worse still, they sought to bring believers in Christ out from under grace and back under law. The net results of their activities were confusion and division in the church of God. Now, the passage we have read tonight is Paul's response to the challenge posed by these perverters of God's law. And it's a passage that has much to teach us. It emphasizes for us a very sobering truth. Any time the law of God is misused, any time it is abused, put to a wrong end in the church, it spells trouble. You see, when men go wrong on the law, they always go wrong on the gospel. And to the extent that they are wrong on the law, to the same extent, they will be wrong on the gospel. And let me say to you tonight that the greatest challenge facing the Christian church in the United States is not the challenge of abortion or homosexuality or rampant humanism or radical feminism. These are all terrible things, and they must be opposed with the full power of God's truth. But the greatest threat to the church of God today, the greatest challenge we have to meet, is the misunderstanding of the gospel that is so deeply ingrained that whenever a man comes preaching the gospel, lo and behold, he's thought to be preaching some new thing. So deeply ingrained are the substitutes for the gospel that they are accepted as the gospel. That's why we have such weakness in the church. That's why parachurch movements that are so antagonistic to the gospel and to all that the gospel stands for are embraced with open arms throughout Christendom. And when one raises a voice against them, he is looked upon as a fanatic and a fool. The reason is, we are living in a day when few preachers understand the gospel. And I would say to you, one of the reasons they have such obscure, light, and perverted views of the gospel is that they have those kinds of views of the law of God. You see, there is in Scripture a very definite and a very important relationship between law and gospel. The balance is clearly set forth in Scripture. It is divinely given, but we would have to say it is a delicate balance. When you distort the true relationship of law to gospel, you will destroy your understanding of both. Now that makes our text a matter of urgent importance. In this passage, Paul the Apostle is not giving us a full theological exposition of the functions of the law. Rather, he is replying to some perversions that these vain janglers, these would-be teachers of the law, were disseminating in the church. And he makes four very telling points. First of all, he makes it clear that God directs his law against sinners. That's what the text is saying very clearly. Understand that this text is not saying that God in no way addresses his law to righteous or justified men. In other words, this text, which is always pulled in by antinomians, that's those who say that Christians have nothing to do with the law, this text does not support antinomianism. That is easily proved, but that easy proof will have to wait till another time. Otherwise, you'll be here a long time tonight. So I'm simply making the point, making the statement, should I say. This is not to be understood in bald terms that God does not address his law at any time to righteous men. For the moment, let me simply note that the main purpose of the law is to bear down upon sinners.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.